Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate or give it to the ushers. And Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Please note in your bulletin that following the service at Pacific Hills Manor at 2 o'clock this afternoon, all other activities are canceled, it being the last Sunday of the month. And refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. We will have our fellowship luncheon directly following this service, and everyone, of course, is invited for good food and good fellowship. We will have our quarterly business meeting on May 21st, and we encourage you to attend that meeting. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Judges 5, verse 3. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 44, And Can It Be That I Should Gain? Continue our worship now with hymn number 468, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story.
Okay.
Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 448, He Ransomed Me.
Remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence in the name of Jesus, our High Priest. And we are thankful that once again we can open the doors at Bethel Baptist Church here in Morgan Hill, California. And Father, proclaim that we have a Savior. The God has provided the way to heaven, and it is free. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that the choir can praise your name. We have no other name to praise. We have no other focus of object to praise than the name of Jesus, our Lord. And Father, thank you that the Word of God is going to be read. And people will listen. The pure Word of God, written by inspiration by the apostles. Thank you, Father. And thank you, Lord, that you allow me to preach the Word. I thank you for the long journey of last week. And for the long preaching. And all these churches, brothers and sisters in Christ, with humble buildings and humble life, but with the treasure of Jesus in their heart. Thank you, Lord, that you allow me to see that. Thank you, Lord, that you allow me to meet with so many people who listen to me over the air through the years. People who, again, are simple, humble, but they love you with all their heart. Thank you, Father, for the young people that I saw. They were all well-behaved in a wonderful manner, dressed, and what a great discipline those homes showed to me. I have been blessed by their demeanor and by the way of worshiping you, Father. So thank you, Lord, that you are a universal God, not just the God of the Americans. Like the Chinese said in Panama, you are the God of the world. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, we praise your name because you have, in our midst, have worked in the life of our brother Donald McDowell, and now he's much better, and he's improving, and we pray for full recovery. As well, you have done this, and my daughter Miriam, and we got the news that she is over the hump, she said, and I'm on the recovery road, and we thank you, Father. Lord, we are grateful that you always, we can cry to you, and always your answer to us. Your line, your phone line is never busy, always listening to thousands of people who call you. Lord, we have in schedule now Missionary Lewis with the surgery coming up in 2 weeks, and we pray there will be a full result as his shoulder needs to be touched and modified and repaired, and we pray that you will hold him up in this surgery. Lord, we thank you for the missionaries across the world, for Fred, who's going to have the surgery, for Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benal Madena in Spain, David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Martha Poretti in the Recovery Center in Argentina, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the midst of travel here in Gilroy, a Christian Athletic Association for the young people to express themselves in a sport and to listen to the Word of God. And from Daniel and Miriam Lacey, Danny going into the fields on car racing and sharing his life with people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that not only here the gospel is preached, but in many, many, many churches across the world. And Lord, I want to thank you for the United States Army and Navy in Panama. They left the country, but they left 1,300 churches. That chaplain in the canal was very busy. And he, as a great missionary, he found the churches all across, all the way to the border in Costa Rica. And we don't know his name. We don't know who he is. Maybe he's retired. Maybe he was already in your presence. But Father, I visit churches founded in 1920 and 1929, 1930. And the Southern Baptist Association, with great vision, have moved on in Panama and left. That they left hundreds of churches in the hands of people, and now they can enjoy the salvation of God because of the vision. Not only the vision of the American ingenuity in making the canal, but the spiritual vision, what makes America strong. The gospel of the Lord Jesus was spread across Panama. Lord, I never expected, I never thought about it, and I want to thank you for the Southern Baptist Association and for their dedication and their work in that beautiful country. Now, Father, as we come back to ourselves, again, I thank you for the provision that your people do for our church. They love you, Father, and their offering is so beautiful. And so bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 678. We will be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 through 58. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 through 58. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, That was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the gift of faith, enabling us to believe without any doubt those things which you have revealed to us in the scriptures. We do not look into an unknown future with fear or ignorance, but rather trust you, Father, for having revealed to us through the scriptures those things we have just read. We thank you for your grace, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has already won the victory for us over sin and death. Thank you for saving sinners such as we. Help us, Father, we pray, to be obedient to all that you have commanded. We pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you for returning him safely from teaching and preaching in the country of Panama. Bless him again as he comes to bring more good news from the scriptures, and give us further understanding of your marvelous grace. We pray for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that each one may be drawing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. It is a great relief to be sitting with you. Not under 129 degrees temperature without air conditioning, just few fans, no windows on the churches because of the weather. So they are just holes and no windows so the air can pass by. And away from the Panama Canal, hot gets into. And later on, as I finish preaching, I give you a report, a very brief report before the dinner, and what really took place. But I'm too tall for those people, and too much a target for the bandidos to capture and to do. As you know, kidnapping is the business of the Colombian people to get money for the drugs. And there is an area you cannot go, even though I want to see it, in plain jungle. But you cannot go because that's where the cocaine and things plantations are. And if you are tall, you're a candidate to kidnap and then ask for millions of dollars for your life. I want to talk to you this morning about 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and about a word that you find in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Actually, my sermon will be just a word to you, a word that need to be understood clearly if you are a Christian, and if you are not a Christian, the message today will help you to understand what do we mean when we say we have to be born again. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul addressed the issue of the resurrection, And he starts what every pastor should start when he talks. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel." That's what I want to talk to you this morning. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel. I declare unto you the gospel. That is the first thing he did to the church. If you look in verse 13, same chapter, verse 13, he says, "For I deliver to you first of all that which also I receive," or "I also receive." You see, the first thing that he communicated to the church of Corinth was the gospel. He did not explain any other doctrine. He did not approach them from any other corner. He did not comment to them about the idolatry of Greece, the Greek Empire, with so many idols and so many temples. He left them alone, and I think that's a great teaching for all of us pastors. Our job is not to criticize any other denomination or religion. Our job is to teach first and most the gospel. The gospel. And leave the others alone. All right? Okay? Now I have laughed like never before with the Latin people in Panama. They told me they only want 4 points in a sermon because Panamanians cannot count more than four. So I will say, "My sermon have 5 points." And I say like this so that they have peace. And it comes to my mind, I tell you, the fellowship with those people was so rich and so deep that I can't believe it. Okay, I have 4 questions for you. All right? Easy to understand. And of course, the first question is obvious. What is the gospel? That is the first question. What is the gospel? Well, if you have your Bible with you, I will give you a reference, a number. If you use the Bible that is in the pew, I will give you a reference number so that you can look into that. When I was in Panama, I borrowed a Bible from them so that I can use their reference number so that those who do not know where it is located, then they can quickly locate. Because I want your eyes to make contact with the scripture and to see that what I'm talking about is not my ideas or my counsel to you, but the word of God. Okay, what is the gospel? Paul said in verse 1, "I declare to you the gospel." All right? If you turn your Bible to Acts 13:32, page 649, Acts 13, you go to the left in your Bible, and verse 32, Acts 13 and verse 32, there you have the Bible definition of the gospel. The translators there use an English translation of the word that is easy to understand. And the scripture says in Acts 13:32, "And we declare to you glad tidings." Some Bible have the word "good news," that promise which was made to our fathers. Good news. The word gospel in the original language is spelled evangelio. You hear people say evangelicals. You hear that in the news. Well, that means people who believe the gospel. These are evangelicals. Evangelio. E, V as Victor, A, Eva, and then G, E, L, I, O. Evangelio is the word. And the word means good news, means good tidings in the Old English, and the New English will be good news. So what is the gospel? Good news. Now the next question. Good news about what? All right? Okay. If you look now in the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 3, you have another transliterated word in English which need to be clarified, but I do it in a second. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, "For I declare unto you first of all that which also I receive, that Christ," So good news about what? Now, if you were Hebrew, you will understand I'm not talking about anything else than the Messiah. The word Messiah in Hebrew is translated in Greek Christ. Christos is the word, all right? And for those who knows grammar, that's a nominative, a case in a singular form, Christos. All right? And that's the word when you say Christos, and if you are a Hebrew person, then you say he's talking about my Messiah. And so the good news, the gospel, is about the Messiah. Now, a next question. What about the Messiah? What Paul is talking about the Messiah? Now, you are in verse 3. I'm going to read verse 3 and verse 4. And look all the things that Paul says about the Messiah. The Jewish people were looking for that Messiah, promise of God, way in Deuteronomy 18:15, God promised Israel, said, I will raise another man like Moses. To him you will hear, the Messiah, the anointed one, a man anointed by God, perfect man on the earth, and he will give you deliverance. And they were looking for that. And so Paul now is talking about the Messiah. Here's the good news. And look at what he says in verse 3, that Christ, the Messiah, died for our sins. The Messiah hath paid for my sins. You were guilty of a transaction, a violation of driving on the highway. And one day you went to court to pay and said, no, so-and-so paid for you. You do not have to pay any longer. That's what the Messiah is. Everybody born, and you will see it in a minute, in the universe have the sin of Adam upon themselves. And God demand death as a payoff of sin. And now, here in the gospel, the Bible said, I have good news for you. The Messiah have paid for my sins. All right, not only that. According to the scripture. See, the Old Testament testify that there will be a man from God. There will be a deliverer from God. There will be someone from God. They will die for my sin, and one day I will stand before God clear. Not only he died for my sin, look in verse 4, and he was buried. He was placed, you know, by Joseph of Arimathea in a luxurious tomb. And then he said, and he rose again. And he resurrected on the third day, all according to the scripture. That's a quotation of Psalm 16, verse 10. All according to the scripture. And not only that, he said, he was seen by Cephas, by Peter. He was seen by the 12, said verse 5. Verse 6 said, 500 brethren saw him. Verse 7, our friend James saw him. And finally, in verse 8, he said, he was seen by me. This is the good news about the Messiah. He already came. That's the good news. You were waiting for so long. For 7,000 years, you were waiting for that Messiah. He has come. He paid off for the sin, was accepted by God. He was buried and then resurrected. And the transaction with God is done. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm reading that, I will ask the question, who is it? Who is it? All right. Now, remember, the person who I identify has to claim to be the Messiah. So here it is, John Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 40 and 41. So let's go over there. John Gospel, chapter 1, verse 40 and verse 41. One of the two who heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41 now. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah. You got it? And the Bible explained to you, which is translated Christ. And now look at verse 42. And he brought him to whom? To Jesus. We have found the Christos, the Messiah. Who is it? Peter, Andrew, who is the Messiah? And he brought him to Jesus. Did you got it? The Bible, what's the gospel? The good news that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has fulfilled his word, brought the Messiah, and brought redemption from sin. Nobody necessarily have to go to hell. Wow! That's good news. That is good news. I tell you, that's good news. That is good news. You think your new job is good news, or a new house is good news, or any kind of thing is good news. But this is good news. You don't have to go to hell. God has promised he will send the anointed one. He will send the one that he will accept it. He paid for you before you were born. He paid for your sin. And God rose him, the Bible said, at the right hand of God. And Paul said, I have good news for you guys. I want to teach you the evangelio. I want to teach you the good news that the Messiah has come. The Messiah has died. The Messiah rose again. We got it. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. Now, the number two question. The first point was, what's the gospel? The number two question is, how do we know for sure Jesus is the Messiah? After all, we only have the witness of Andrew. Here is Jesus. He's the Messiah. How do we know? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have the Bible, no? And we can look in the Bible, the requirements of the Messiah, Jesus qualified for that. So here it is. How do we know for sure Jesus the Messiah? Number one, because the whole human race is lost. Look at in Romans chapter 5, just a verse, the book of the Bible to your left, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans 5. In verse 12. Therefore, Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and the word man is anthropos, I mean until, so as sin came through one mankind, entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death is spread to all men because we all sin. So the Bible said Jesus came and to save his people. How do we know for sure that Jesus is the Messiah? When the question is clear, because the whole human race is lost. The entire human race is lost. You got it? The entire human race is lost. That's what Romans 5:12 says. You have a mama and a papa. I don't care what the homosexual said. That you can have a papa and a papa and a mama and a mama. Bologna. Young people, that is an atrocity. I can't believe it. People with college believe that. The only thing they have to do is have a big mirror on the wall, get nude and look in the mirror who you are. Simple like that. So you need a papa and a mama. And when a child is born from a papa and a mama, he's born a sinner. That's what the Bible says. I don't care if he is born to the president of the United States. That would be a miracle. But suppose to. The president has a baby. That baby is a sinner. Suppose a king has a baby. That baby is a sinner. A movie actor have a baby. That baby is a sinner. The Bible said they all are lost. Well, how come Jesus then? Well, Jesus is different. Look with me. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, page 561. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, page 561. We have the birth certificate of Jesus written by an accountant. by a CPA. That's Matthew. And look at what he says in Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus the Messiah, was as follows. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So here's what the Bible says. Here, Matthew is saying that Mary was engaged, has an engagement ring with Joseph. They never slept together. They never went together. And she found herself, she's pregnant. And that pregnancy was a touch of the third person of the Trinity and the body of Mary. Now, Paul defined this in Philippians chapter 2, page 692. Philippians chapter 2, page 692. And let me read it for you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. Paul, he was a philosopher, and so he elaborated a little more, and he gave us a tremendous insight into the birth of Christ. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to become equal with God. In other words, he is God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He was not a man. He came in the likeness of men. He was born of Mary so that he takes the form of a man. All right? And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so the scriptures say clearly that how do we know it's Jesus Christ? Because the whole human race is lost, and no one can be born and save me because he is as lost as I am. And because Jesus is without sin, God cannot charge him, you're a sinner. He doesn't have the inheritance of Adam. Now remember the scripture in 2 Timothy, and because of my timing, I cannot go and elaborate on the descendant, but I tell you, the Bible clearly said that God did not charge Eve guilty, but charge Adam guilty. And so Jesus is born without the charge of being guilty. He is not guilty. He's free from sin. Amazing. Now, the gorgeous part is this. Jesus is the only person accepted by God the Father. Go with me to the Bible, to page 708, Hebrews 10, verse 8, 9, and 10. Page 708, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10. And look at what the author of the book of Hebrews has to say to the people now of Europe. All the Jewish people that were spread over Italy, over Turkey, over Greece. Look at what he says. Verse 8. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor have pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. In order for the people of Israel to be absolved from sin, according to the book of Leviticus, once a year they have to bring offerings to the temple. It said, now we understand that you don't want that. Verse 9. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first covenant, that he may establish the second. The first covenant, who was forgiveness through the offering of blood through a sacrificed animal, is gone. Now the new forgiveness come is through the offering of the new covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10. But that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times we have to do that? None. Once for all. That's why in the Lord's Supper, we don't bring a lamb here, cut the head, and sprinkle the blood on all of you. That was what was required once a year. Why? Because the blood was sprinkled once for all. Doesn't need to be revived. Doesn't need to come up. That's why. So how do we know for sure that Jesus is the Messiah, because the Bible testified clearly that no other person could qualify to take the job of Messiah. He need to be pure from sin. And the only way to be pure from sin is to be born of a woman without a man. That's what the homosexual one, and they can't make it. You need to be born of a woman without a man. And God did it for you and for me. Now, the key of all of this is this. Jesus came to do what? Well, he came to save his people. Look at in Matthew 1 and in verse 21, what the scripture said. He came to save his people. Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. An angel, a messenger from God is talking. For he will save his people from their sin. That's what Jesus came to do. What did Jesus came to do? Came to save his people. Now the question is, who are his people? Turn your Bible to to Matthew 18, page 573. Matthew 18, and you will see who are his people. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. His people are everybody who is lost spiritually. If you say, I'm okay. If you said, I can do good work without Christ, you're lost. If you said, I do not need God, you're lost. See, you don't see the path. It's funny, in Panama, there is a highway. You will see it. I put a map in the back for you to see all the places I've been. There is a highway that goes from the canal all the way to Costa Rica, 600 miles. Perfect highway. Better than America, built by the Americans all the way through. But as we were driving, this is this town, this is the other town. I said, where is the town? So they park and said, well, here lives a brother of ours. If you go to the second tree, and turn around, there was fields. Go to the second tree and turn around 20 trees, there is the house. So what did the guy cut the tree? What I do? You see, I get lost. And that's how people are. They get lost. They lost the mark. God is the Savior. God has sent Jesus to save. And they lost because they're looking for somebody else. They're looking for good works. They are looking for being nice and a gentleman. There are people who are nice and gentlemen, but this will not get you to heaven. They are looking for Muhammad. The Hindus are looking for something else. The Buddha people are looking for something else. They are lost. And Jesus came to save those kind of people, you and me. Isn't that fantastic? Now, you can say to me, lost from where, Pastor? I know great doctors and engineers and so on, lost from where? Well, go to the first part of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, and you will find out lost from where. Look at in Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 15. First book of the Bible, Genesis 2 and verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend or to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, verse 16, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is no good for a man to be alone, and so on. So God gave some instructions, said, don't do that, because the day you do that, you die. All right, chapter 3. What do you think? You tell a child, don't do this, and the next you turn around, a child will do it. All right, look at what happened. Verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. That's what the world is. They tell lies to you. And look at what happened in verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. And that's what man wanted to be. God. Verse 6. So when the women saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them, verse 7, were open. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. And that's what man is doing today. He's sewing fig leaves to cover themselves before God, rather than saying, God, I'm naked before you. I'm no good. Give me that Savior. I'm lost. But they are so lost that they can, even having Bibles everywhere, they cannot see the Savior. This is how lost we are. Amazing. Amazing. Lost from the presence of the living God. That's why people believe in evolution. I understand it. One man told me, there in Panama, he said, I'm a medical doctor, and I call you to my house to explain me why you do not believe in evolution. He said, I can't explain it to you because you are blind. No, he said, I see. No, you see nothing. You are blind. You do not need me to explain evolution. What you need me is to explain Jesus. And that night, the man came to the church to cause problem. And as the second pastor makes the call, he stood up and the whole church cried. They've been praying for him for 2 years. Amazing what the word of God does, don't we? Now, how lost sinner, like that man that I mentioned to you in the city of Chiriqui, how that lost man can find the Messiah? How can you, if you are lost in the world, in business, you are lost in the science of the world, you are lost and careless about God, how can you find the Messiah? How can a lost person find the Messiah? All right, let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 14, page 667. Romans 10. And verse 14. This is the first thing that need to happen. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him? How can you call on God in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You need to have a preacher preaching the word of God to you. Not fantastic? You need a preacher. You need to hear the preaching of God's word. I'm so glad you're here this morning. I'm so glad you are listening to me over the internet. I'm so glad you are listening over the radio, because you are listening the preaching of God's word. You need to have somebody to preach to you the word of God. As you still lost. How do I get away? You're in Romans chapter 10. Now go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you see it? The word of God caused them to believe. You have no faith. That's the ingredient for salvation. It's no knowledge, it's faith. And faith, you cannot buy it on the pharmacy. You cannot buy it in the university. You cannot buy it by reading books. You only buy faith by reading the word of God. So hear this. Here is a lost person. Here is a lost person. How can I find the Messiah? First, listen to the word of God. I don't know how many times you have to listen, but listen to the word of God. Then secondly, as you listen to the word of God, faith comes into your life. And as faith comes into your life, then you have to believe it. Go with me to John Gospel, chapter 20, page 638. John Gospel, chapter 20, and verse 31, page 638. And look what the Word of God said. John Gospel, chapter 20, verse 31. And the Apostle Paul says about the miracles of the Lord Jesus. He says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You see that? You have to believe. You cannot say, yes, I know Jesus saved. You have to believe. If you believe, if you believe not, you are like the Jewish people in the wilderness, that they all perish, the Bible saith in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, because they believe not. You can know God to heaven and said, I know by memory in Hebrew the entire book of Leviticus. Who cares? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who paid for your sin? That's the only requirement of the scripture. And I have read you the scripture. So, what the gospel of Jesus Christ is telling us? Two things. What is telling, if you're an unbeliever, whether listening on the radio, on the internet, on the tape ministry, CD ministry, right here in church. If you're an unbeliever, what the gospel is saying to me, what Jesus is saying to me. Turn your Bible to the gospel of Matthew 11:28. Now, Matthew 5:68 is the page. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Look at what the Bible says. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are labor, all you who have tried everything and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all of you who have checked everything, all of you who have researched everything, all of you that are sick and tired of church, come to me, said Jesus, and I will save you. There is no other way. Now, what the gospel says to us, believers, in 1 Corinthians 11, page 676, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at what the gospel says to us, believers, verse 26 of the gospel. Well, I will read from verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in what? In remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Remember, the new way of salvation. These do as often as you drink. And what? In remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till I come. So to the unbeliever, Jesus said, come. To the believer, he said, remember me. Don't live your life like without me. Don't live your life like there is no Savior except on Sunday morning. Remember me. You pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Romans 8:34. You look for Jesus' instructions in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And how to live. Remember me. And if you are an unbeliever, don't look anywhere. Don't even look in what your parents will say. Just look in this book called the Bible. Look in this book. This book generates faith. And one day, without you knowing, you say, I believe. I believe. But if you do not listen to God's word, and you do not read the Bible, don't expect you're going to believe. Because what did we learn this morning? You are lost. You maybe be the smartest engineer. One guy told me, I'm a super programmer computer from Chile. Now Chile and Argentina are head on in football. So football is the sport. People finish the service and play football in the backyard. This is how heavy football is over there. I mean, the real football, not the American. And they really, you guys say, I'm a program designer, and you're telling me they am lost. No, I'm not telling you anything. The book tells you. How many times you read this book? And he went to his car and brought a big book. I guess Brother Greg is familiar with this big book, with all the programming and all this. This is what I read. I said, well, there's no God here. Where is God? So I said, it's my Bible. I give it to you. Just give me $10 at least. But I give it to you. See? It's just amazing. Amazing how people want to find Jesus and anything else. Jesus here, fellows. Salvation is here in this book. Young people, don't move away from this. You get lost. You get lost. It's hard to be lost. Thank God your bathroom and your home is in your home. Inside your home. sanitary facilities are in your home. When I went to bed in one of the homes, in Agua Dulce, they gave me a flashlight. I said, don't worry, I turn on the lights. No, we turn off the light in the night to save. Oh, 129, how do you sleep? In case you need to go to the bathroom, it's about like this. You pass the second tree with a flashlight, and then you go to the right. There is a little thing over there. I don't go there, I'm going to get lost. Do you got the flashlight? It's right here. Right here. If you don't have one, pick up the one in the pew, and it's free. Read it. Find the Savior. Surrender to Him, and enjoy life forevermore. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are a mighty and superior God. You are a God who gave us the gospel, the good news that the Messiah have come and have paid for our sins. But now we need to read about it, believe it with our heart, and enjoy life forever. Oh God, I know that what is impossible for man is possible for God. So be merciful to those who believe not, and gave them the power to believe. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
My Lord, as garments so wondrous fine, and mother texture fills, its fragrance reached to this heart of mine, with joy my being thrills. His life had also its sorrow sore, for all those had a part. And when Savior, go.
luncheon, let me take 5 minutes so I don't have to explain to everybody what happened on this trip. Your church was represented by myself. I left Sunday night at 9. After 11 hours, get to Panama City. And there, we're waiting the president of the convention and other people. And I was placed in a very nice apartment for a couple hours with a lady, one of the widows from the general. As you know, entire Panama City was built by the United States of America. And all the generals and people were living there. When they left, they sold every property for a dollar. That was the law required. The government bought the property and sold back to the people who can fork. And they sold it for $75,000, $78,000. Apartments that will be here, $400,000 and so. There is no air conditioning. The only thing unusual, there are three doors before you get into the house. You get three private guards. There are five floors garage because they have very nice cars. And the cars parks one in front of the other. Three cars per person per apartment. And as you go up in the elevator, then you have to have a lock to one frame and a steel door. And then there is another frame and a steel door. Then there's the nice door of the home. And that's for security. And as you walk through, the camera spot you and the people inside can see what it is. Because a lot of stealing, a lot of kidnapping in downtown. And we enjoy the Vilma, the graciousness of this lady that used to be in Miami, and he missed so much his family that she went back to Panama. She said what we all say in South America, the Americans don't know how to live. They work so hard, and they don't enjoy the family. And over there, everybody after 5 o'clock, all the families are together, and all the family enjoy and talk and eat together and so on. And here in America, I said, my one daughter is a lawyer, and two daughters are medical doctors. They're never home. My granddaughters are study. Everybody there. There is no time. I go over there. Nobody's in their home. At least I have 9 brothers and sisters. Everybody has 10, 12, 15 brothers and sisters. And they were all here and enjoy themselves. A very nice lady, 83, in a fantastic shape and so on. 2 days over there preaching downtown Panama, very beautiful church beside the missionaries live. It's very intense. You start at 6 o'clock and end at 12 midnight. You preach for 3 hours and then you have groups of 15 people every hour. They want to talk to you about different issues, the Bible and so on. Remember, I was preaching only to pastors and so on. And 275 pastors in total, I made eye contact with them. Then you go to rest. The good part of Panama is so hot, 129 day, 129 in the night. So you eat a good meal at noontime. The meals are good. Our European meals, paella, big fish from the ocean. The best meals for $2-3. Fantastic meal. Now, they can do that because salary is $46 a month. So the nationals cannot do that. But they take you to a restaurant, and it was fantastic. Then in the morning, they give you a cold rice. They boil the rice with water, and they mix it with milk and papaya. And so you drink that, and then you can take the heat. And I never felt sweat or anything like that. Then in the night, all kinds of fruit, big platanos, big like that, 2-3 colors of bananas. I knew that in Nicaragua, green banana, orange banana. And you just eat that, and they make a liquid for you and so on. And that's it. So I lost pounds without knowing because and then you walk a lot. You just, that's typical of them. I visited the canal. They have improved tremendously. And I can't believe it. The money a ship pays when cross the canal, $150,000 just to cross the three locks of the canal. And it's so beautiful to see a lake, full lake like this, and suddenly the whole ship go down and go through the other side and go down and down. As you know, there are 300 feet between the Pacific and the Atlantic. And take 67 miles to cross a ship, a canal, 8 hours. And any ship that crosses a canal has to surrender their sovereignty to a Panamanian captain. And he takes the ship from one place to the other. The Chinese work on the other end. They're just labor. They're under Panamanian control. And the Miraflores here, but I saw a lot of military, a lot of F-15s flying over through. And the Panamanians love that because they are in custody of the canal, and they're taking pictures to see that nothing is wrong. Second night in Panama, city. Again, the church was full and all kinds. I met with the representatives of the convention. I was able to go to the president's church in Balboa. He's a Baptist, and so I was able to visit with the pastor, the secretaries, and all of these. It was just a fantastic experience. All these churches are left by the Americans. They left it to the community. They were built through the years from 1916 until the year 1999. They were built by the Americans and left to the communities, and they are extremely full. The next day, on Wednesday, we draw to Agua Dulce, a little town about 200 miles from the capital, and a nice building. I met the pastor, very poor situation with the people, but I met a lot of pastors, and I spent time in a lot of homes trying to clarify problems between Christians. It's amazing how much problems they have between themselves. So I was having a great joy to see those people back into the church, back into anything, as I, but they exhaust you. And we were four pastors with me, so all of us are very, very busy. The population of evangelicals, of believers, is large in Panama, larger than any other country in Central America that I saw. To spend 2 days over there, when you left the city, you have to be ready for the jungle, all right? You go in the thing, and then you walk through the grass. And then here is a little rancho here, a little rancho over there, and cucarachas will fly, big one like that, and boom into your head and so on. He said, don't kill it, just do like this. And so you go one in my nose, it's okay, you know, and just amazing, you know, I can't believe it. And you don't wear a coat, you don't wear a tie, so they took pictures of me without tie and coat preaching, so to Santa Raquel, so that you are very, very, very fresh. All kinds of iguanas, you're sleeping, one is passing by your bed, you know, it's just amazing. And from there, we went to the great city of David in the state of Chiriquí. Chiriquí is fighting to get independence from the Panama people. But we went into the state of Chiriquí, and we enjoy that church, about seven churches over there. We enjoy, these are the state that produce the tomatoes, the leathers, all the fruit, and the best coffee I ever drink, the rich coffee, and the plantations. When you look how much it takes to make one pint of coffee, you wonder how cheap it is. How can they get it so cheap? It takes about 7 days to make 1 pound of coffee. So now you understand why those people make $5 a day. That's what they get paid and so on. And but hundreds of believers, nothing raw. And then I saw in Santa Clara, a beautiful place on the north, the Southern Baptist camp. There was a military regiment that was there, and they donate these to the Southern Baptists, and they have a beautiful camp. You can eat three times a day over there. You can enjoy the Pacific Ocean for $1 a day. It's just fantastic. People don't have a dollar a day. They only make $46. They have to pay $20 for insurance. So here is $26 left for the whole month. So you don't know what poverty is. They don't know what poverty is. Nobody told me they were poor. No one. Nobody was unhappy. Everybody's so happy. Nobody complained about hither, about this, about the other. Nobody. Nobody did one complaint. I was just having such a fun. Maybe the life of Christ had sealed these believers in such a way that they enjoy themselves so much that they don't look to this world for anything else. Nobody have cars, so you walk. This is over there. One guy said, where do you live? 2 hours from here. The other said, 3 hours from here. It's all, you take the bus. No, I just walk. And they walk in the night, you know. I don't know how they know where they go. But they walk and they walk. And say, where do you go? I walk over there. It's dark. No, don't worry. I know the way. And he goes. Maybe he leaves things on the floor. I don't know why he does. But they know. It's just amazing. Their love for Christ is so deep and profound. They enriched my heart because they were fantastic. And I thank you for this experience. I went to Panama once to speak in the house of the governor for Family Radio in 1994. I spoke in the governor's mansion, a nice meeting as they were dismissing personnel, and they invite Family Radio. Family Radio is everywhere. I met people, so I listened to you from 1984. I listened to you from 1986. It's just an amazing experience to see those people. And they were looking to me up, and they were touching me. They said, oh, you're tall, you're tall. Yeah, I'm tall. You know, I'm Argentinian. But the Arabs are everywhere. Everywhere you go, there are Arabs for business. They sell you everything. You know, all the stores are owned by Arab people. And they don't like Japanese at all. And so I don't know why, but no, but all the cars are from Japan. You know, it's amazing. And, it's just a great experience to get out of your country, sleep in the house of the people, watch what the people have, and see what, and then come back here and say, Lord, thank you. This is unbelievable. This is an unbelievable country, America, an unbelievable country. So thank the Lord every day for everything you have. And smile, will you? Smile. Lord, thank you for the service today. We brought the Lord Jesus into the heart of our life. Your book, the Bible, is the avenue, the highway that brings Jesus into our life. Here in America, there in Panama, everywhere. Thank you for having one book and one Savior. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people now and bless us as we partake of the food later on. In Jesus we pray. Amen.